All right. We're expecting at some point Father Maximilian Maxwell, prior of St. Vincent Archabbey. And I'm not even sure what a prior is, Bob. I don't know if it's Terrell Pryor. What does that mean? No. I don't know what that means, but he is Father Max. And apparently he stepped in last night for Father Paul, who usually does
right.
these
Father
things.
Paul's always there.
So Father Max went full Mason Rudolph here. He stepped
he
in
did.
As
he
a backup.
He stepped in as a backup and threw three touchdowns and had to he was responsible, you would think.
I can't wait
to
talk to him.
For the miss kick wide right.
Could be.
Yeah,
we'll be
but
talking
the interesting
to him soon.
Thing is he is from Philadelphia originally.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. It says that. Now, who's calling you back? Is that Father Paul?
No, I just called Father Paul, but he's out of town. And he went to a voicemail, so I'm waiting to hear back from him.
Wow.
Just to get more background on Father Max.
Well, in the meantime.
And whether or not Father Paul will show up for the next game.
That,
I don't, you know.
That is a great question
like,
now.
Father, or at least bring Max with you.
Right. I mean, I would think Father Max is a good luck charm at this point, limits, right?
Definitely needs to be brought back and probably keep the same exact routine.
That could be a topic here. Do you start Father Max or Father Paul in the next game?
You got to ride the hot hand, Bob.
All
yeah,
right.
It's the backup coming in, saving the season. You got to go with him.
Yeah, you got to ride the hot hand here. Do you have chicken wings, Bob? Why does it smell like chicken wings in here?
That's my new cologne.
Is it?
Yes.
Interesting. Let's go to the phone lines, limits on a happy day for everyone.
All right, let's start with our guy, Emmanuel Carnegie, to kick it off.
Oh,
hello, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Hey, do I say Happy New Year's? Because I haven't heard from at least two of y'all, Bob and Joe.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, yeah. Buddy.
Y'all are the all-star crew, man. Y'all are the all-star team. And it was just a great win last night. Again, I'm not going to be popping champagne. You know, this is not the Super Bowl, but you definitely have to take strides to get there. And technically, we kind of overcame our first hurdle of winning a win-or-go-home game. I have a lot of hope for us. For those that will just say the foregone conclusion that we'll lose against Houston because of the playoff game, I don't think they're appreciating what we're seeing at quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. This guy is playing at a phenomenal level, and he's getting better as the season goes on. And the teams in the playoffs, there's not a prime Kansas City Chiefs team. We went over it again in nauseam. There's no Buffalo Bills team with an MVP version of Josh Allen and the Ravens. So we got a chance.
The only thing I would argue with, Emmanuel, is you do have the MVP version of Josh Allen, but you don't have much of a defense for Buffalo. They're in trouble. I think they're going to win that game, and I think they're going to come here and lose to the Steelers. Bob, I think I'm with you. I'm predicting AFC championship right now.
If we play Buffalo, is that going to be in the AFC championship game?
No,
or do
we
that'll be in the divisional round.
Okay, because I was thinking we will have to play at Denver in the divisional round.
Well, you still might, depending on how.
Yeah, of course.
It all depends on how these games work out, and seeding then changes.
Thank you, sir. Next.
All right, here is Rick. He's in Green Tree.
Hello, Rick.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We're in Green Tree, too. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not far from you. Hey, you know what? Given our city's penchant for developing monikers for sensational plays like the Immaculate Reception and the Immaculate Extension, why can't last night's play, with the given the backstory of the priest blessing the end zone, be called the Immaculate Prevention?
Ooh,
not bad. Bob.
I like that one.
That's not bad.
The Immaculate Prevention, Father Max.
Given that we have, yes, that could be your intro to that gentleman.
But, thank you. Is he gone?
Enjoy your show, and thanks so much for everything you provide on a daily basis.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you. Bob, I thought he faded away there. It sounded like he was gone.
What was his first name?
I don't know.
Oh, come
Limits.
On. Austin,
Limits, what was his name?
I can't remember.
I was just going to put a tweet on the Immaculate Prevention caller. I like that.
Just say man. Man says.
Well, give me a second here, Bob, and I'll go back into the archives and pull up the audio.
Who's next, Limits?
Here's Jay in Columbus to chime in.
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Rod, we got a hot quarterback. We got a quarterback that has a cannon. And I don't understand why we're 3.5-point dogs against Houston at home on Monday night. I look for this defense to really, really get after C.J. Stroud. I'm a big Ohio State fan. I saw him get destroyed at Michigan in the cold weather. Hopefully it's cold and snowy. We bring the defense, and we can finally get the monkey off our back, get a playoff game. Rodgers stays hot. Who knows, guys? This guy is the top five quarterback of all time. Outside of Bradshaw and Ben, he's my favorite quarterback right up there with Elway. He's got the it factor. And everyone on ESPN is glorifying some of the throws last night without DK. So super, super excited. Happy New Year. I haven't been this positive about the Steelers in probably about 6 years.
Isn't it funny how week to week, after that Cleveland game, where they could not score a touchdown,
and where Rodgers was frankly horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it just, everything changed. The narrative changed. Baltimore won. They were high coming to Pittsburgh thinking they were. And then it's a week to week business. It really is. It's hard to put this stuff together. But the fact that they're home and they have a nice history on Monday, and Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback, as long as they protect him, I think they have a legitimate chance to win that game and move on.
I like C.J. Stroud, don't get me wrong, and I think he's been betrayed by a bad offensive line and not a ton of weapons in Houston. I really think between injury and poor talent acquisition, they've really let him down more than the opposite in Houston, but that's the state they're in offensively. I don't know if everybody saw their game against the Chargers a couple days after Christmas. They win. He had a couple of nice touchdown throws, but he also had a couple of horrendous picks, Bob. And I just think that football games defensively largely are one up front. And I think that the Steelers front is just gonna decimate the Texans front and make it really hard to get anything done. I think it's gonna be one of those games where there's not going to be a lot of room for C.J. Stroud to make plays. It's going to be the opposite of last night. I don't think the Steelers will even respect their running game that much. Do you? I think it's going to be all about just playing it straight, really, defensively, and beating people one-on-one.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, but they do have a pass game that can light you up at times, too. They got some, Nico Collins, a really good player, and others, their tight end has made plays. You know, it's a different challenge for a different game, but I think you're right. They won't have to worry about a guy like Derrick Henry. They don't have one on that Houston roster.
Or Lamar.
What they do have, however, is a young quarterback who's capable of getting out of harm's way, and he can make things happen. So that's the one thing you'd have to watch about with him when it comes to run game. He could be a big part of it. I just think the Steelers have the kind of deal. Now, can they allow what happened in last night's game to happen again? Wide open receivers. I mean, not within 10 yards of anyone. I mean, that, I still would like to know how that happened and who was mostly responsible for it, because you just can't have those kinds of games.
I mean, it happened because they went after Lamar and he avoided the rush. They didn't get to him.
Ramsey on the first fourth down and three play, they went for it. He just stood there. And I don't know, Walker is one of those, Devontae Walker. You don't hear his name.
Well, go back and watch the play. Catches. You'll see them send a lot of resources toward Lamar. Designed to happen quickly.
Aren't you supposed to go back and prevent that stuff from happening? He wasn't blitzing.
I guess he was playing the short ball there. I don't blame Patrick Queen, by the way, either.
I don't
Certainly
either.
Not on that
not
one
on
that he
one.
Got burned by
but
Flowers. You've got to get to
Flowers
the quarterback.
Flowers play, I don't know what happened. It was, no one even went with him. It was, and again, I don't know the inner workings of who was responsible for what, but those sorts of plays will kill you, and you could very easily have lost because of that.
I don't think those plays are going to happen against Houston because they're not going to be sacrificing as many assets to stop the run up front. They were going with a five-man front.
I know.
They were challenging
Lamar Jackson to go down the field, and
yes,
he did.
And he did. And I think this week that'll be one thing they'll actually design to stop, which is C.J. Stroud down the field. Bob, have you seen this running game? Their leading rusher is Woody Marks. It might as well be Woody Allen. He averages 3.6 yards a carry.
Yeah, no question. They do not run the ball well.
They have no explosion whatsoever in the run game. Nobody on their team. Their next best rusher is Nick Chubb, who's
not the same Mr. Chubb.
Yeah, not at all. So I don't know, man. I think they're walking into a world of trouble. Now, the question is, can the Steelers' offense get anything at all done? And like I said, I think this little hunt and peck situation is actually good for this game.
Yeah, I watched a few of their games this year. The one that sticks out is when they sacked Josh Allen, of all people, 8 times in a game. They hit him 15 times.
Right.
I mean, if they're capable of doing that. Now, Buffalo's offensive line has struggled at times, too. Steeler offensive line I'm more bullish about, especially with Samalu back where he is. They seem to be holding up throughout the course of the season. So if they give him the kind of time necessary, I think that could be a whole different game in Pittsburgh. I'm going to say that the Steelers could win, and not just win, but win fairly comfortably.
Yeah, I don't think if they get in a situation where they have to throw, they're dead, because that just isn't going to happen for them, I don't think, to come back in a game like this, because Houston does have a great defense. I will acknowledge that, although they weren't so great
yesterday. I think
it's
second best to Seattle. I mean,
probably,
those two.
Yeah, probably. But again, the Steelers have two really effective running backs. I think their offensive line has become better and better. And I don't think the quarterback's going to give the ball away. I don't. I think they'll go into this game considering a punt a good thing.
Well,
I think they're going to win the game.
Listen, that's another thing. You can say it over and over again, but to do it is another thing, and that is possessing or protecting the football. Mike Tomlin stresses it. They go through a lot of stuff at practice to make sure guys can hang on the balls. And Aaron Rodgers, the one thing that he's done throughout his career is protect the football. He does not throw a lot of interceptions. In his heyday, he was one of the best. I think he has the all-time record of, you know, comparing touchdowns to interceptions. So that's a big plus for them. You can't afford to make mistakes like that. Houston thrives on it. They're one of the best teams. I think they have 18 interceptions, where the Jets, by the way, had zero for the entire year, which is still shocking to me. Not one interception in 17 games. But they go after you. They force fumbles. They're at the top of the list of all these defensive situations. So you got to watch out for that. They're going to be trying to strip the ball away at all times.
Limits, did you give me sheets with reads on them, or am I panicking my way out of that?
I think I might have gave it to Bob.
I have some. Do you want me to do them?
Yes, Bob. Could
I'll do them, and then I'll give them to you. Yes. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. And the text line, as always, is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And the hotline, Joe, is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years.
Very well done. Back to the lines, Limits.
All right, let's go to Mike. He's in Penn Hills.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about three things about the game from yesterday.
Yeah.
The Steelers going into the playoffs, confidence should be at a sky high without putting up all them points, and Aaron Rodgers putting up all them yards without DK Metcalf. Like, the job that they did on offense was like, to me, it was all A's, like the confidence level, because that was the whole talk all from last week about what are the Steelers going to do without DK, and the fact that they proved to the whole world on Sunday night football was unbelievable. Another thing that kind of got me a little worried was about the defensive line, and the front seven played wonderful, but like, I'm worried about the DBs, because like you guys were talking about earlier, the Texans can throw the ball. They got some good wide receivers. And, like, you know, so I hope that they get that together. I'm just worried about them not having it all together. It seems like one game we got a good defensive line, and the next game we got a good defensive back. It's like, I just hope that this playoff run, if we get a playoff run, that both of them can just come together and just, you know, play some good Steeler football. And my last thing is that I'm not really worried about anybody in the AFC, nobody really scares me. I understand the Texans got a good defense, but there's a lot of young quarterbacks out there, and we got an experienced team with an experienced quarterback, and that just proved it last night, how experienced
no doubt
our quarterback is and how important it was.
And I'm with you on the fact or the opinion that nobody scares me either, Bob, in the AFC. Individual players do. Josh Allen might. But no team does.
Just because you don't have the name recognition attached to some of the guys you mentioned in that caller, that doesn't mean a guy like Drake May, who may be the MVP of the league.
He's concerning, for
he
sure.
He is concerning, yeah, because he hits a high percentage of his passes. He doesn't make mistakes.
And Herbert could be.
Another guy. I mean, they haven't gotten to that level yet, but they're certainly capable. And I think it would be a mistake to think that you can't, just because those guys are not in there, that these guys can't step up, because they can, especially when they're going to play at home.
For sure, but there is no team in the AFC where I look and say that is a great all-around football
Absolutely.
Team.
There's no team that you say, well, they're going to go to the Super Bowl again, just like Kansas City was eliminated. That'll change. I think it's a wide open. It's refreshing to have. I mean, you can make a case right now that even though Green Bay has limped into the playoffs, they have what it takes potentially on offense to get things done as they go through. San Francisco has a ton of injuries. They blew a chance to win home field throughout the playoffs, and they have the Super Bowl at their site. Injuries. You get injuries along the way, it changes everything.
Steelers a 3.5-point underdog right now. The Bills a 1.5-point favorite at Jacksonville. Do you have the line for the other game, Patriots-Chargers limits? I think it's Patriots by 3.5. We'll get that in a minute for you. All right. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cold today, temperatures in the 20s. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Does it say on your sheet what the low is today, Bob?
Yeah, the low is 22.
Andrew McCutcheon.
Andrew McCutcheon. How about the high of 44?
Eric Pennick, the old running back for Notre Dame, one of my first favorite
Carson
players.
Bruner. There you, the son of
he forced
Mark.
A fumble yesterday, Bob.
Yeah,
it looked like it to me.
It came
was he
loose,
down?
And they said his knee was down. But yeah, he's been very good, underrated on special teams.
And you're right, Joe. It is New England by 3.5 against the Chargers.
That last kick return.
I don't trust the Chargers either.
I don't trust anybody. That's the whole point. That's the best way to phrase it. Who do you fully trust in the AFC? My answer very quickly is nobody, no team.
And that includes the Steelers. It's
yes,
hard to trust any of them.
The
so
Steelers.
It makes for a wide open, riveting playoff format here coming up this weekend. Man, you talk, and this is a problem when you're not motivated to do anything. You can sit at home. You can sit at home Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and sit on the couch and watch nonstop football from the college football playoffs, which are starting. You know that this round of them, which should be enticing games, and all these games. Man, it's great. It's. I love this time of year. I just do.
That game will be remembered for a long, long time. 412-928-9370. We're efforting Father Max from St. Vincent, who poured the holy water in the end zone. I feel pretty good that we're going to have him on the line sooner rather than later.